Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
The Red Sox get an important series with the Yankees off to a good start with a win last night, and you can talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are without Wiggy, King Flex, who's always all over everybody else when they dare to take a day off, and all over me for being a soft manager. And so now he's taking full advantage of the flex, left and right.
I bumped into Loftus, one of our sales guys around here.
And you're talking about the sales cruiser?
The sales cruiser.
Mike Loftus, yeah.
Boy, does he have pecs. Uh-huh. Those things are popping. God love them. I would not mess with him.
Uh-huh.
But no, he said he was like Wiggy's take on the Children's Museum and how dumb that was, about how it's not more expensive to go to the Children's Museum than the Red Sox.
Oh, yes.
And so yesterday I went to the Children's Museum, and then dinner at the Smokehouse Barbecue right across the street, good spot, was less than it would cost for a single Red Sox ticket. Before you park, before you drink, like one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But he believed it, so it worked out for the segment.
That's true. He does, I will say, Wiggy believes everything he's saying. Most of it is incorrect,
right.
But he does believe that everything he's saying is accurate. So.
But if you have no books in your home, they are obsolete, I guess.
That's true, yeah. All right, well, heads up, you can watch this show if you happen to be at home or you're already at work, and you can do that on YouTube or on Twitch. And this show, every single day on Twitch, is presented by Springer's Jewelers. And now through the end of the month at Springer's, it is the Page Estate Summer Sale. Tons of pre-owned and vintage jewelry up to 70% off. So go to Springer's in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We have leads to get underway. And then at 7:20, they said it, quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, all of that coming up. But Shime, let's get going here this morning.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Well, I think I know why you chose that. I'm assuming the title of that is Rome Wasn't Built in a Day, or is it just Rome?
No, nope. It's Rome parentheses wasn't built in a day.
Okay, and the artist, I'm having like an old...
I feel like Wiggy would get this.
I'm having an old head brain fart moment. Is that Sam...
you're right there.
Sam Hunt?
No, he's saying, nope. Cupid... Throw back your bow. Sam, right, give me that. What is it? The last name start
C.
with?
C.
C.
Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke. Yes.
Well done.
Nailed it. Sam Cooke. All right. Good tune for Roman Anthony, I assume. And
yes, it is.
Leads this morning brought to you by Subaru. With so much to love, you don't want to miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. It is going on right now, and you can find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruOfNewEngland.com. And with Wiggy out, a lead for Jackson this morning. Hello, Jackson.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes. Quick update on the apartment search. People are asking.
Yes.
Two of them.
Still looking, nothing landed yet, but couple of possibilities.
Okay. Are you open to anywhere? Where do you need to be? Like, would you?
I'd like to be, you know, within 30 miles of this joint.
Okay.
What I've been saying.
Within 30 miles of beautiful, safe, Brighton, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Or anything? Within 30 miles of WEI.
Anything that you need to have? as a part, like, do you need a bathroom or can you go without? Or
bathroom is optional, okay. But okay. Preferred for sure.
How many bedroom? One bedroom fine, or
we're looking for something with a little bit of an office or like a little tiny second bedroom or something. But
that way you can prepare some of your work.
Where do you think all this brilliance comes from?
Yes, correct.
I need a whole room.
All right, your lead this morning, Jackson?
Speaking of which, there's something that's been on my mind for over a week now that I just have to get out. And I have to apologize to, first off, Curtis and Courtney.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Last week was a bit of an off week.
Is this when you lost control on the two of them while I was gone?
Apparently, yes.
Mm.
I lost control. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what happened. Like I said, there's been a lot of things going on, but like our guy Wiggy says, you cannot let your night job affect your day job.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's not like I was unprepared. I don't know. I felt like I was Chuck Knoblauch. I felt like I was doing everything right, but just things kept going wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I want to apologize to you for doing that to your show and to Curtis and Courtney.
You don't owe me an apology. I was on vacation.
Yeah,
I didn't know anything.
But I understand how fledgling it can be sitting up there with your faith in somebody else's hands and how nerve-wracking that can be. And I saw that the big boss man is giving me another chance because our boy Shime next week is taking a day off. And I have redemption.
I'm not taking a day off. I'm filling in somewhere else, though, but yes.
Okay, taking a show off.
Well, I don't know I don't know anything about this. Shime, what are you doing?
I believe Ken has me scheduled to be filling in the middays for a day next week because one Adam Jones is just flexing his life away over there.
Okay.
Why don't we put Courtney on the afternoon show and Wiggy can do the Sox game?
Oh, Wiggy doing a Sox game would be tremendous.
And you're suggesting what? That you're going to produce that day? I don't know that that's been decided.
I mean, I've been told that that would be the situation. But it's your show. It's up to you.
Well, yeah, it's my show. I mean, I'd suggest that Ken maybe should return to the show and produce that
I think
program.
that would be a great idea.
I mean, I feel like that would be great. But anyway, what were you saying?
I was saying that he offered me redemption in an effort to, I don't know if he's offering me redemption on purpose or it's just I'm the guy that's there, but I have a chance to make it up on Tuesday if you should so allow.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to know that inspired me to be better. It's not like I don't try to be better, but there's little things that I can do to make it so I will make it so. And
that's good, Jack.
That Jackson is old school Jackson. Today is new school Jackson.
I see. So no rage Jackson going forward?
No rage.
Okay. All right.
Any rage I've ever felt or expressed was probably just, at me.
It was more frustration.
Yeah, frustration.
You didn't see. I didn't get any rage. It was more you and Curtis going.
Yeah, there was a back and forth about how he said I think I'm perfect, and I said we play drops.
You said
here.
I am perfect.
I didn't see that.
I said we play drops here from years ago where I was being berated for being a moron, and I deserved every bit of it because I was a drunken moron.
Perfecto.
And then he said, "Well, I'm not drinking. You showed up drunk and all this stuff." And I said, "Hey, it's a great thing. There's one thing that people that abuse substances are great at, and it's deflecting."
Well, get past that.
It's like you're being yelled at, and all of a sudden you're yelling at the person that was yelling at you, and the person's like, "What the hell's going on? How do we get here?"
What's with the yelling, by the way? That's never,
good to take accountability.
No,
yeah, of course.
Yes.
Always. Jackson, thank you. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So I played that lead song for our guy Roman Anthony because last night is exactly how you kind of make a name for yourself in the city of Boston where you have big moments against the New York Yankees. As Curtis did yesterday, he did his, top five Red Sox-Yankees moments of your lifetime.
He left the probably the most pivotal one off the list, though, and that was Veritek A-Rod. But yes.
Yeah, you're right. 100%, Greg. He definitely missed that one.
I actually would like to apologize to you for forgetting that.
Oh, it's not a problem.
Okay.
But what Roman Anthony did last night with the home run and the bat flip and just like, he has, as the kids would say, aura, and to do that against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium and kind of seem to relish the opportunity is exactly how you endear yourself to Red Sox fans. Like, that's how you become a true part of this organization, this team, this city, and being locked up long term, seeing moments like that, feeling that kind of energy from him is really encouraging. And whether the Red Sox, do have success in the playoffs or don't this year is still yet to be seen, but I think it's safe to say that, like, Roman Anthony gets it. He understands the city. He understands exactly what it means to be a Red Sox player. And it was kind of awesome to see that moment for him last night. I'm excited for him going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there seems like there is a bright future there for Roman Anthony and for the ball club. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know what ends up happening with Marcelo Meyer, and does he end up being injury prone? And, you know, you're not going to get him until spring training. So, when it comes to these, the big three, the prospects, Roman Anthony, I think, has lived up, at least so far this season, to the expectation that he might have had.
I think he's exceeded it.
Yeah.
And I would also say that the future of the Red Sox, at least until the new contract, the new CBA is signed, will be similar to what they did with Crochet, which is they're not going to enter the offseason and truly engage in the pursuit of the highest-priced free agent. They're going to enter an offseason with Joe Ryan this year, and they're going to use Marcelo Meyer or someone like him as a way to get that guy here that still has years of team control. I just don't think the Red Sox with John Henry are going to be back bidding on the best players at the top of the market in free agency. I think they're going to use their farm system as a means to get guys that are on lower market teams or smaller market teams onto the Red Sox while they still have team control. I think that's the future.
Yeah. And speaking of prospects, those password futures that I bought are definitely going to pay off.
Why did you have them on?
Imagine if you had listened to that dude that we had on and purchased some futures in the password.
Wow.
And boom, he's sitting there yesterday in Worcester, and the phone rings, and they throw him in a Toyota, and a couple hours later, the man is in the Bronx.
Yeah.
I mean, participating in the greatest rivalry in sports. And somebody is sitting at home going, ka-ching, right? I mean, my Lord, I was called all kinds of names for having that guest on this show by the listeners.
It was almost as bad as your audio eulogies.
Right, my Lord, they were. Some people were threatening to call the SEC and things like that.
Who paid for that segment?
My God. So yeah, the password gets the call up, and we got a game tonight. What time? First pitch tonight. 7:05. 7:05. First pitch tonight on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. And you can listen to the Boston Red Sox, who are one game up on the Yankees in this series. And you can talk about the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. All right. Shime, Jackson, both of those leads into the ether. And when we come back, a lead from Courtney and a lead from Curtis next on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons getting ready for the biggest baseball series of the year, Red Sox, Yankees. And what better way to get ready for that than talk to our buddy Rob Bradford. Rob Bradford is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Right now, Bradfo can yell, McFarland! Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, McFarland, and everybody yell McFarland. It feels so good. It feels so good. Come on, do it.
McFarland!
McFarland!
You know what else?
Thank you.
Oh, yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
I was just going to say, you know what else feels good is the password getting called up. I know this is a big series, and we'll get into all the other aspects of the series, but Justinkson Garcia has been called up. How good is he going to be? What's his role going to be? Why now?
Well, I thought you were going to say what else feels good is the Ace of Spades coming back in to introduce the interview. Excellent job by Tiz. He's earned that baseball isn't boring face tattoo. It's going to be awesome. But speaking of the things that are a little bit complicated, like Jess Nixon's first name, I went around spring training asking guys who have played with him if they could spell it, and only one guy could. So that I think that I probably could now. I'm not confident.
Okay, go ahead. Whoa. Go ahead, Hotshot.
Oh, okay. No, why did I do this to myself? okay, let's give it a whirl. J-H-O-S-T-X-Y-O-N. What is it? What am I missing?
It's J-H-O-S-T-Y-N-X-O-N.
And I missed the N. I'll take that, though. I'll take that. Listen, it's going to be a long career, so we have plenty of time to do it. And it's going to be a long. It's going to be a long weekend, so we have plenty of time to do it. But I think that it's going to be. It's really an interesting move. This guy has really rose pretty quickly over the past of this year. I saw him playing a lot in spring training. He struggled in spring training, but he really found himself in Double A, and that's kept on going in Triple A. Obviously represents the best bat they have in the system. I don't think really it's even close, you know. So, you know, he was obviously going to be a key part of any Joe Ryan trade. They held on to him. I didn't think that they would need him right now, but they don't have a lot of outfield depth. And the fact of the matter is you need the punch hit, potential punch hit. Will you Abreu is leaving behind because he's going to go on the IL.
Bradfo, when I saw you a couple of weeks ago, I asked you, you know, what besides pitching, what else should they have been targeting at, you know, the trade deadline? And you said, more pitching, to be honest with you. And then you look at the last 10 games, you know, they're hitting .228 as a team. So clearly the bats have cooled off with Yoshida, Sedane Rafaela, you move him to second base and now you can't hit. Jaren Duran's struggling right now. What? Is the password the answer to these hitting woes? Because right now these guys can't score runs, and so are you worried about this, or is it just the ebbs and flows of a long baseball season?
No, I think you should be worried. You know, I think one of the things that I've been pretty consistent on is the fact is that you need the best case scenario for all these guys. You can't have them playing to the back of their baseball cards, and before they weren't, Ted, they weren't playing the back of the baseball cards. They were exceeding expectations, including Sedane Rafaela. But then that took a turn. And we've seen Abraham Toro. All right, for a while he was Dom Smith, the good version. Then he became Dom Smith, the bad version. And now he's gone. But you can't have that. You don't have the fail-safe like a team like the Dodgers, say, has at the top of the order with all these no-doubt-about-it guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is a concern. I wouldn't put too much pressure on Nixon, because this isn't Roman Anthony that's getting called up here. You know, this is a different level of prospect. But at the same time, maybe he catches lightning in a bottle. But and the other part about this that sort of concerns me with the Red Sox is that, yeah, they go up against good pitching, like really good pitching. They get shut down recently. And I know that that's sort of like, yeah, no kidding, they're going to get shut down by good pitching. Everybody does. But guess what you have to face in the postseason? Good pitching every single time. And I would like to see them come out here out of New York and not only see what they can do against a team on the road, a good team on the road, but good pitchers on the road.
Bradfo, so, yeah, I think the offense needs a spark, and I'm hoping that a guy like the password can provide that for him. Maybe it'll be contagious for them. The offense wakes up. But we're also going to need some help in the bullpen. We're also going to potentially need some help in the rotation. You and I have both been aboard the Peyton Tolley train for a while. Great start this week. Mm-hmm. 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 5 Ks. Can you tell the people why they need some more Peyton Tolley in their lives ASAP?
Well, because, I mean, anyone who says they can smell the carrot, I mean, that's like that's the best line I've ever heard,
if
right?
You can't back a guy
when you're
like
close
that.
To the majors, yeah. I mean, when you're close to the majors, I mean, that goes beyond baseball. Football players could say that. You know, there's like, You look at, hey, Drake May, you know, he can smell the carrot. He can actually be good. And that's what Peyton Tolley has already given us. But I look at it as there is going to be one of these guys to come up, and there is going to be one of these guys who are going to say, much like we're talking about with Nixon right now, which they're going to lean on, and it's a case of where maybe they didn't want to lean on him, but they have to lean on him, because if you don't get a better Jordan Hicks, if you don't get, you know, if you don't get the Justin Slayton that you had before, then you aren't going to compete. You need to get these other guys. You need lightning in the bottle from somebody. And Fitzy, you're right, man. Like, maybe, you know, maybe it's because of how he looks. Maybe it's because of what he says. Maybe it's because he was a high draft pick. Maybe it's because he throws hard. Whatever it is. But the image of Peyton Tolley, I just can see it as that guy who actually is impacting meaningful games at the end of the year.
Rob Bradford here with us on WEEI Afternoons, presented by McFarland Energy. We say that as often as we can in these hits. Bradfo, John Dennis-style two-part question here.
I didn't know where you were going. I don't know where you were going with that. All right.
So, Rafaela, Sedane Rafaela, A, do you actually believe his offense is being negatively impacted by having to play second base? And B, If that is the case, and you have a guy by the name of Vaughn Grissom in Worcester who can play second base, why has that not been a consideration?
Because I don't think they're convinced. I'll do the second part first. I don't think they're convinced that that is the case. And they look at it as, well, Sadon Rafael is a better defender. Sadon Rafael is a guy that when he's going good, he's proven that you can get his bat in the lineup. Sadon Rafael, if you put him at second, you open up for some of these other guys that you want to play. Now, I'll say this, you know, it has gone beyond a coincidence. I mean, this is, the numbers don't lie, that when he plays second base, he hasn't been hitting. It's a tough one. And I think the one of the biggest problems they have in this respect is that it does free up for these other guys, the Yoshidas of the world, and these other guys to play. Because otherwise, you can just roll out Romy the entire time. And maybe that's what they'll do. I don't know. But right now, you can't ignore what's going on, but you also can't ignore what exactly this team needs and hoping. I think that the way they look at it is, yeah, we understand what's going on, but we're willing to take the chance that he is going to find the rhythm that he had before, and it is going to fix itself. Because if you do get that Sadon Rafael at the plate that you had before playing second, that is your best version of the Red Sox.
Real quick, you just said open things up for Yoshida to play. Can we close things for Yoshida playing?
Yeah.
This sounds disrespectful, but I don't really want to see him play anymore.
No, I'm kind of with you, Andy. And you know, I say that just because that's how they're thinking. That's why they keep running him out there. And it's one of these things where, you know, we went from, okay, he's coming off major shoulder surgery. We get it. You know, like, I understand. And I understand that he had some good runs that first year, his first year with the Red Sox. But at the same time, what we've seen of him isn't the impactful bat that you need from that position. It's just not. It's not even close. And so I'm with you. But, you know, I think that I'm just saying, like, how they are viewing it right now, that they're going to keep running him out there, especially, by the way, with Willier out. They're going to hope that, you know, whether it's him, whether it's Rafaela, whoever, and this comes back to the question that Ted had. They need these guys to get hot. They need these guys to turn the corner because, I don't know if you know this, science would suggest there's 5 weeks left, and these are really, really important games.
Science would certainly suggest. Hey, Bradfo, this team's it's considerably different when you kind of look at how this team is now versus when they first played the Yankees in early June. You know, Christian Campbell was playing. Meyer was playing. Roman Anthony was in his first week. Rafi Devers was still on the team. Jaron Duran was hitting leadoff. David Hamilton played in almost every game of the five-game series. Alex Bregman was out with the injury. And the Red Sox, when they first started playing the Yankees in early June, were 9.5 games back of the Yankees. Now they're just one game back. And then Hunter Dobbins had 2 of the 4 wins went over the Yankees. It's a
yeah,
different...
remember the Hunter Dobbins stuff?
Yeah,
that was great.
That? How about that? It's... I mean, so this version of the Red Sox, is it considerably better than the first time they played them when they won 4 out of 5? And if so, will that reflect in the win-loss after this is all said and done?
No, you know, it's funny because, yeah, the Red Sox have been better. You would go back to the last time they played them. Well, they lost the first game they played with the Yankees, and they've won the next 5. And then the last time they played them, they swept, and then they celebrated that sweep by kicking Rafael Devers off the plane. So that seems like forever ago, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we were talking about. And the Yankees were sort of running away with it a little bit. But then the Yankees just hit this awful skid for about 1.5 months, and everyone was counting them out. The Red Sox, I think, 1.5, 2 games up on the Yankees at one point. And everyone's saying, oh, there you go, Yankees in the rear view. Here go the Red Sox. And now it's reverse course. And when we go into this series – The Red Sox have been better since the last time they faced the Yankees. But if you talk about the hotter team, the better team right now, it's the Yankees. I know that everybody has crapped on them for the last 2 months, but anyone who's been paying attention for the last 1.5, 2 weeks will understand that this team is getting what they need from those relievers that they acquired, Bednar and Williams and Weaver, which are lockdown relievers. You're getting really good starting pitching. And by the way, you're hitting home runs all over the place, even with a banged up Aaron Judge. You're a really, really good team. So as they come into this series, you have to say that the Yankees probably feel a whole lot better about themselves. But like we said before, that was the case with other series where the Red Sox went in to play the Yankees and they came out of them feeling pretty good.
Hammer of Bednar. There's a reason why you and I wanted that guy, Brad.
Oh, your guy. I talked to him today. I said, oh, man, David, like, listen. Like, first of all, put on your – as we do this interview, please put on your baseballs and boring shirt. And he did.
Yep.
Thank you. And then I said – I can tell you, it was too bad you didn't go to the Red Sox, because the preeminent expert on swing pass,
yep,
Fitzy, he was the one screaming and yelling, like, this is the place that you should have landed, yes.
Yeah, hey, but as far as the Red Sox, nobody finds, day-old donuts and other people's trash better than Craig Breslow and the Sox. Is it realistic to think that Nathaniel Lowe will not hit a home run in every game, but, like, have a reasonably positive impact down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're looking at upgrades, right? And so is he an upgrade over Toro? As much as I love Abraham Toro. You know, he tried really hard and he had a good run. You know, it was going the other way, has been going the other way for about a month and a half. So you have a guy who won a gold glove. You have the guy who's not had a good year, but has had good years all leading up to this year. That was a good sign, obviously, the other day. So I think that if nothing else, it's just, hey, we think that this is going to be an upgrade over what we have. And best case scenario, you get the guy who was winning World Series with the Texas Rangers. So, you know, I have no problem with this. I think it's a good move, because I don't think it's square peg, round hole. I think it was an obvious fit here.
All right, Bradfoe, you said it. The Yankees are hot. The Red Sox are not. The Yankees hit 14 home runs over the last two games, but the Red Sox have been really good against the Yankees this year. It's a really important series. It's August for an Alex Cora baseball team. That could mean another narrative about falling apart. Put it all in the Bradfoe crystal ball blender. What are we expecting from this series?
Oh, I mean, first of all, you can buy those. I'm all good for a good the baseballs and boring Bradfoe crystal ball blender.
Love it.
Who doesn't want one of those?
Love it.
you slap a sticker on that, it's like the price goes up $10 immediately. But I think they're going to split, and I think this is what's going to happen. You can play this next week, and I'll be wrong, but I think the Red Sox will win tonight, because, you know, this, you have one team who just came back, you know, late. I think they got in at 3:30 in the morning, the Yankees. The Red Sox have been here for 2 days. The Red Sox understand how important this is. So I think the Red Sox will win today. I think they'll probably win the Crochet game, but I think they'll probably split, and, you know, and then we'll be end up right where we are. But the problem is, for the Red Sox, is that then it doesn't get any easier. We just saw how tough the Orioles have become. It's just there's no room for error here. But what you can't do is you can't have a catastrophic, I'm trying to think of the year, 2006, where the Yankees just bury you with a sweep. You can't have that. And I would be very surprised if that happened. But, you know, again, I was surprised that the Red Sox swept them last time. I mean, I was surprised when I sat down for my Father's Day meal a few hours later, that Rafael Devers was traded. So, full of surprises this year.
All right, Bradfoe, we will continue with these chats each and every week. And you're right, we have recordings, so we'll play this back depending on how things play out this weekend. And let's, one more time, you and I, we'll do it real quick. 3, 2, 1, McFarlane!
McFarlane, yeah.
Oh, you're late. You missed it. I thought you'd be ready. All right, Bradfoe, enjoy the series. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, and hey, by all the way, also, guys, great job with the Jimmy Fund. Excellent job. So, all around.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad.
Everybody, great job. Appreciate it, Brad. We'll talk to you.
All right, thanks. See you, bud.
I also enjoyed Bradfoe's little shot at Fitzy late in the interview. Did I hear that, Fitzy, right? Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. That's called good-natured ribbing.
The expert in swing paths or
yes,
whatever.
The New England and sports radio's foremost expert in swing path. It's on my business card now.
All right, up next, we got a breakdown, a couple of nuggets from Rob Bradford. We know he's an insider. He's baseball isn't boring. He's always with the baseball team. He's there in New York. Big series, some big topics to talk about. We got it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Somebody who's done tremendous work over the years on this telethon, Lou Maloney. We're going to demote you to the number two celebrity in Framingham after Craig.
Yeah.
But you've spent a lot of time doing these telethons over the years, raising awareness, raising money. What's the experience been like looking back?
Well, you know, first off, you grow up here, so you knew all about it. And then I got to be able to live it as a player, you know, and visit the clinic and be part of that. And then after, I think 2009, Glenn Ordway brought me in here for the first time. You know, and then ever since. I remember because about 3 months later, my son was born. And I would say the next 2, 3, 4 years, you guys know, you have young ones, it changed.
It does, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
You know, and you come in here and it's hard, right? You meet the patients, you see the families, you talk to the doctors, you hear what they have to say about it. And you start feeling like you're putting things in perspective. But at the same point, you realize what you're doing, you know, and I did it for, what, 15 years, I think, these telethons and the money that's raised. The stories early on, there was a lot of sad stories. You know, you're interviewing these families going, what are you going to do? And I would say the last 5 years or so, it was doctors were saying, you know, 5, 6 years ago, there was no help. You know, and now because of telethons like this, the money that is raised, they're better endings. And I think I could just see it just in that time. I know, Keith, you've only been doing a little, you know, not as much. I mean, how many years have you been doing?
17 was the first one, 2017.
Yeah.
And like you said, each year is getting a little bit better. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's definitely gotten better. You also get to see both as a player, but then now also just being around the team.
Yeah.
Seeing the players interact with the kids is one of the cool things. Some of the players just really take to the kids. Go over there, plenty of like unannounced visits, you know, not trying to be publicized visits, but that's a real special relationship that a lot of the players have.
And they understand that. You know, when they come in, obviously some embrace it. You know, maybe more guys like Brock Holt, what Garrett Whitlock does. I mean, it doesn't really surprise you when you get to know some of the people that get really involved because they're just good humans, you know. But I think they all enjoy it. I think these 2 days here kind of before the game, they understand that they're coming up here. They're going to be talking to the media, talking on the telethon, and I think they accept it. They're excited for it. Because anytime, and even in spring training, when the kids come down, like, it is awesome. Like, some of the players, that's their first introduction to it. And they talk about it for days, like meeting these kids down there and what it means to them, putting a smile on their face.
So I'm trying to remember now. We talked to, at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, as Carolyn was on that trip, put on by the Jimmy Fund, you know, funds from this, and we just updated the tote board. $3,753,057 has been updated. So again, please continue to donate toll free, 877-738-1234, or you can text to give any amount by texting K Cancer to 56512. But yeah, that's one of the many places where that money goes. And I know, you know, for the ball players, the day off can be kind of a sacred thing, right? And something where, hey, we want to, it's a grueling season, it's a grind. And you get some time off. Maybe it's not always front of mind to go over there and do that, but a lot of these players decide to take their time to do that.
They do. And, you know, even when I was playing sometimes, because it can be hard out there. You know what I mean? Like, guys are in, they're in it for 2 or 3 weeks. They can't find a way out of it. You know, you've got a family at home, but really this is like the focus and this is your world and everything sort of evolves around how you perform. And then you take a visit and it just can change a lot of, you know, your perspective on, like, man, I'm worried because, you know, I'm one for my last 20, you know, and you see what some of these families are going through. I was always amazed at the kids that came walking through here that are battling cancer and have for years, the strength that they have.
Oh, they have a better attitude than, like, all of us. Like, yeah, not even close.
You just sit there and you're like, you know, what kind of life is this person going to live when early on in their lives they faced this challenge, they met it head on, and they've taken this attitude towards it like there's nothing stopping them, you know? And it's just that always amazed me, the kids.
All right, as for the team on the field, Lou, how are you feeling about it? There's been a couple of tricky bullpen situations here over the last – that's one way of putting it – over the last few days, whether guys are available, unavailable. The number of guys that you're confident in a big spot is sort of dwindling.
Yeah.
Overall thought on the – specifically the bullpen right now.
The bullpen is leaking. I think that's how I would I would say. And, you know, the high-leverage guys, like Witt has been great. You know, he throws a game. Maybe he needs a day. They're still kind of dealing with – he did have surgery last year. But you'd love to have 3 or 4 guys at the back end, you know, that you could use to set up Chapman. But when it's only 1 or 2 and they get used all the time – you know, like Weissert was fantastic. Right now, he's just sort of fighting it, right? Trying to find it, even though he's been okay. You know, so it's like you're trying to find those guys at the high leverage spot, and that's why Slayton's going to be so important if they can get him back in a week. But I don't know, do you expect him to be lights out right away?
Probably not. Yeah.
It's that back half of the bullpen that's caused some issues, right? Like last night, you keep that thing 2-0, maybe you walk it off. Or you're up 8-1, there's no need to bring in Whitlock and Chapman into those games. And that's happened a few times. So there are some guys, I know Bernardino's back up. There are some guys down in AAA that I've talked to people that are there all the time that think they can truly help. Like the kid Tolley's fastball is like in play on, doesn't matter, lefty, righty, it doesn't really matter.
That's the Piglet, right? You've dubbed him the Piglet?
The little Piglet.
Yeah, Piglet would be a good one. I do
love the pig and the Piglet. That's great.
Piglet work.
The little Piglet. The one that fascinates me is Richard Fitz. Like it's been a wild year for him. Kind of like hurt or not hurt, suspended games, one inning, sent back down. To me, this is like this time of year, you got depth down there with Criswell and Harrison, like Fitz, like what is he like for an inning or two, throwing 98, 99? Like, and this is the time of year I think you start thinking about it.
So I think we have all wrapped our heads around the way they handled Chapman or didn't use him on Sunday. I think we all get it. Do you like it? I mean, do you like that that's where baseball's now at, where you can't go on a third day? Do you think that's a positive advancement, or is that something you look back and say, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, he's going to throw on a third day if the team needs him?
Yeah, I think with him, 37 years old, you know, and he's having a career year. And I think one of the reasons why may be because they haven't used him on 3 days rest, that he hasn't gone an inning and a third, inning and two-thirds, two innings. You know, I think the idea is, I understand you got to get there, right? And Sunday's game was a big game. They're all big games from now on. You got to get there. But when you get there, and if you don't have him, what are we doing? You know, so it's like it's 35 games left. It's still a lot. And I would say like the last week or two of the season, in the postseason, you know, you take the chains off of everybody. And we saw that in the postseason before with how he uses some pitchers. Guys are just out there throwing every day. Nobody has an off day. But in order to be able to do that, I think you still have to kind of be careful. The bottom line is like someone else other than Chapman has to go out there and throw the ball and get outs, right? Like it's 8-man bullpen. Guys have to do their job, you know, and Whitlock's done a nice job of it. Wilson, Matz has done a nice job, and he just gave up a 2-run homer the other day. So it's just, it's one of those things, but you can't overuse them now. I still think it's too early, even though as important as all these games are.
You're more worried about seeding for where they are, or do you think they could fall out of it? Like, do you look at Cleveland as a team that's going to snipe one of these spots, or do you think it's just sort of reordering the three?
I actually, it's funny because I think it was Texas beat Toronto the other day, and I wasn't rooting for that. Like, I want Cleveland, Kansas City, and Texas to go away.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
And you want the number one seed.
Yeah, right. I think they're such a good home team.
Wild card here, three games, is going to be tough to beat. I almost think you're just at the point you got to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's step one. Like, I've always said, I feel like you're in phase 2016, you know, where you went and got Price and Kimbrel, and you made the playoffs, and you didn't do well.
Right.
And then the next year, you got somebody to go with Price. You know, like this offseason, maybe you get somebody to go with Crochet. And then it still took J.D. Martinez, you know, to kind of get the offense going, and it still took Nate Eovaldi. So it's like a little bill, but I want them to get there because I want these young kids to feel it. If it's on the road, so be it. You just want to get in. That's why I'm rooting for those other teams to go away.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the other teams to go away. Is there a team? Yeah, I Keith is a big believer in this, and we've seen it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you just get in, you have a good chance to go to a World Series, maybe win a World Series. Is there a team in the American League you look at, and it is head and shoulders better than the Red Sox when they get there, or is it a pretty level field once you make that postseason?
I think Seattle's the best team in the American League. Like and honestly, in my own mind, I don't know where they're going to end up in the final standings. I don't think it's close, you know, because I think, you know, Brian Wu can match up with just about anybody.
Yeah, they already had the pitching, and then they went out and got back with two or three
other guys.
Yeah.
And then they come, you know, now all of a sudden it's Suarez and Naylor. I just feel like that is, they finally become what you've been ripping them for not becoming. You know, like you went out and got some offense, you know, because you got Schubel, you got Crochet. You know, you've got these guys, this veterans up in Toronto, but I feel like Toronto can match 1-2-3, you know, can match a one and can kind of 2-3 dominate there too. So they're a team I worry about, but I actually worry about Texas.
Yeah, if they got
and they
in.
Just they can't get roster, out of their own way.
Yeah, no, they don't. They can't get out of their own way.
No, so I don't know what's going on there.
This is more of a question, I guess, probably for next year. But, like, how do you – like, the logjam in the outfield, sort of the role of Seidon Rafaela, and even, I guess, for this year, like, do you want to see him more in center field because of how dynamic he is in center field, or because of need, you got him at second base?
I think they want him in center every day.
Yeah, but
the Marcelo injury really impacted a lot, and it might have impacted a trade deadline. You know, because there was no jam anymore, and there was no need to trade anybody anymore. You know, they want him in center. It's just that right now, I think Romy Gonzalez is a guy that, like, I think if you play him every day, you're going to find him on the IL. You know, I think you got to pick your spots with him and keep doing what you're doing with him. And I think other than that, he's your best option. So it's not perfect. It's because of injury. Yeah. I think he's your center fielder for a long time, like moving forward.
Does Meyer concern you at all?
Yeah.
Just because every year it seems like it gets shut down with something, you know. And some guys in all sports just have that, like, buzzard's luck, and they're just, like, always hurt. And it just seems like, unfortunately, it's another year where he goes down.
It does, because it's hurt his, like, kind of climb.
Yeah.
You know, even though we got here this year with everybody else, but it was like when everybody else finally got the AAA last year and were, like, competing and playing at high levels, well, like, he was hurt.
He's missed so many at-bats and, you know, just development time in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and you know, you see guys from, like, well, this guy was in Meyer's class. He's already in the big leagues. Why isn't Marcelo? Well, that guy played 130 games for 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill. I mean, yeah, that's, like, the big example.
For years in a row, and you're playing 75, you're just missing those ABs at the next level. So for him, there's a little bit of a concern. I mean, it's kind of fluky things, but – this is one of the things with prospects. Either they could come up and not be good. They could be injury prone. You know, they just have a lot of different things. He's obviously shown what he can do.
Just
kind of trying to see if he can keep him healthy.
All right. Lou Maloney, thanks for helping out last night, today.
Yeah.
These last 15 years, all the help over the years, we appreciate it.
What do we got, 4.9? That's the goal.
That's the number we're circling.
That's the one we're chasing.
We're all around it.
And thank you to you guys, because I know this is very, very important. You guys are fantastic. Great job today.
Thank you. Outstanding. Very much.
Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. We're going to check in with Lucas Giolito of the Red Sox as we wrap things up here on Jones and Keefe. Day two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance rolls on next.
I stand corrected on the nickname of John Bonham, who was the drummer for Led Zeppelin. I said Gonzo, and I've been corrected on the Subaru of New England text line. It was Bonzo.
So, Bonzo,
Curtis, you knew that.
I didn't want to embarrass you.
I think you were a drummer in a band in London.
The Warlocks.
If I remember correctly.
Bongos.
Dominating the American Community School of Agam.
I think the man, unfortunately, did 40 shots of vodka and then passed away thereafter, unfortunately,
from the 40 shots.
Was an extraordinary drummer, and his son is a great drummer to this day and had a band called Bonham. All right. NFL season, as Curtis mentioned, just a couple weeks away. We did announce a basic brunch to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation, which is happening. We announced it yesterday. Limited seats available. Happening at Lincoln in South Boston, Curtis's home continent.
The last one standing.
I'm still there.
And you can join. I know me and Wiggy are both going. You can join us along with Jameson. And we're going to watch the Pittsburgh-Minnesota game from Dublin, Ireland, 9 a.m. or whatever, bright and early, and enjoy an Irish brunch. So if you'd like to join us, Coach and I are looking forward to being out there. We'll talk a little ball during halftime. If you would like to join us, just go to thegreghillfoundation.org. Help us raise money. It'll be an Irish-themed brunch.
Never had an Irish-themed brunch.
Okay. Well, you had breakfast in Ireland when we did the show over there.
I think I might have just had, like, the basics.
Okay.
Is that an Irish-themed lunch, French toast?
It was in Ireland, so, it was Irish-themed.
I thought there was a special type of meal.
There is.
You going to indulge in, like, an Irish Benedict, Greg?
Of course. I prefer mine traditional.
Of course.
But
like, with the theme, you gotta dip in a little bit.
I mean, this will probably shock you. I don't love the lobster Benedict. Like, I don't feel like lobster belongs with eggs.
That must be freeing to say publicly.
Yeah. It is. Now, I do enjoy a good tenderloin Benedict. Like, if one is happens to be at Abe and Louie's or something, and you get a slab of tenderloin on the Benedict, I'm fine with that. I like a bacon, not the Canadian bacon, mm-hmm. but a regular bacon Benedict. I don't like the spinach Benedict. Or
the Florentine.
Shocking.
That's probably shocking as well, I would say.
Yeah. Just give me some French toasts and home fries, and I'm good.
That's it. You're all set.
Fruity Pebble pancakes at Lincoln.
If you want to hang out with Coach and I, then I would assume this will sell out quick. They have.
Do you think egg whites are racist? Is that why you don't eat those?
Do you eat pancakes?
They have Jameson custom football jerseys and all kinds of things that you get when you come to this with us. Mm-hmm. So, all right, back to Leeds. Curtis, good morning.
And James will be there on September 28th.
Okay, good.
I think I'm going to be there as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
All righty.
Well, long drive in from the leafy suburbs.
I'm still going to be in Selfie at that point. So.
Now, how would you get to Lincoln? Would you take 128, the Mass Pike?
All right. I feel like the social life is going to be curtailed.
Nope. I think we're going to be
burbs.
Just fine.
Yeah, okay. That's what they all say until they get to the burbs.
And honestly, like, I don't go out much right now anyway.
You kind of do.
I really don't. I go to dinner.
Right.
I go to dinner.
And whoever the hookup is at Capri Boston, I'll take it now because she's out of town.
Oh, no, I'll be back for that.
It's going to be like, oh, damn, the traffic's so thick going into the city.
Let me tell you this, and I'm speaking from experience. Once you move to the burbs, it is over.
That is it.
It's the only place in the world, this room, where I do something like really special in my life, and I get told how bad it is. Like, it's really shocking.
We're trying to prepare you for life.
Yeah, your life is going to change now in the burbs.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to change.
To the city much.
And where we're
not a lot of influencers who live in the leafy suburbs.
Oh, plenty. and where we're moving, actually, great restaurants.
That's my point. So you'll stay.
We went to one the other night after going
over. Get in there by 8 because they close at 8:30.
Nope.
And can I tell you something?
My bedtime's usually 9. So.
Got to get in for the 4:30 special, Greg.
Shime, you live in Lowell, so.
Right.
He walks everywhere after driving.
Lowell's open late.
Right. You don't see us when I was in the burbs and there was events in the city. We don't see Shime. You don't see me. Now we won't see you.
Yeah.
No. Maybe I'll shock you.
And people questioning in the Twitch chat how you would get 128 to the Mass Pike to Southie. That's literally how you go from Needham, like or any place that's
any
in
place
Metro West.
You hop
on 128 and then Route 90 takes you literally into South Boston.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Unfortunately, oftentimes the Pike is backed up for miles, so it takes hours to get into the city. But.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Curtis, your lead today.
And one last thing. The people that live in the city mock their friends that live in the suburbs to say that the restaurants are as good. Nobody actually believes that. And you know that, Courtney. Okay. So Red Sox-Yankees start a 4-game set tonight in the Bronx. I think it's a series that they cannot lose if they expect to have a playoff run this year. So in honor of the rivalry, I have a top 5 Red Sox-Yankees moments in my lifetime.
Okay.
2 receiving votes, 2018, suck on it, 18, 16-3, whatever that was. The Red Sox beat the Yankees in the ALDS and go on to win the World Series. And the Xander Bogaerts 1-game playoff home run in 2021. 5, Zimmer Pedro, just one of the – I was so shocked. It was one of the most surreal WWE-style early evenings in Boston.
I mean, it was a throwdown.
Take that,
but,
my
but it was sort of easy – to execute the throwdown because Don Zimmer was on a bit of a, he had a bit of a head of steam going there.
And he was stumbling already.
yes, he was. Okay.
This was our number 4, Schilling Bloody Sock, Game 6, 04 ALCS. And with that, the greatest meme-generating moment in Boston sports history with the A-Rod knocking the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand in the 7th or 8th inning of that game. The hamburger helper mitt that was made. Great moment. Number 3, 99 ALCS Game 3. Clemens, Pedro, Fenway Park was unbelievable. The whole city was buzzing the Sox when that game. Number 2, Veritek A-Rod brawl, July 24th, 2004. And then the Bill Miller walk-off. Just the catalyst for that team that went on to win the first World Series since 1918. And number 1, there's a million from 04 that you could do, but the singular moment for me that actually said they were going to win the series, avenging the loss the year before, was the Damon Grand Slam in the second inning of Game 7 of the ALCS in Yankee Stadium.
No, so Veritek A-Rod?
Yeah.
Or did you say that already?
That was number two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I missed that. Okay.
No, coach of the Dodgers. Why am I drawing a blank on his
name? Dave Roberts Steele.
Yeah, why? No, Dave Roberts Steele.
Yeah, that's I said. So you could do Dave Roberts Steele. You could do the Ortiz walk off in game four, the Ortiz walk off in game five. There's a million. I just, to me, in terms of actually believing that the Red Sox were going to go to the World Series, occurred the second that ball landed in right field in game seven of the 2004 ALCS.
Okay. And should they split? You're not completely out. You're only right. Out. You only think this is over if they lose the series, correct?
If they do not, if they come away with a split, obviously winning three out of four or a sweep, then everything's still on. If they lose three out of four or get swept, I'm very worried about the team.
Okay, Curtis, the rest of today's leads, one from Courtney, one from Wiggy, and one from me coming up next.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
And now joining us, as I said, Craig Breslow. How are we doing tonight?
I am good. Thank
you. Comfortable?
Is it good? Comfortable. Relax,
never
man.
Never comfortable.
We're easy. We're a lot easier than that morning show. Don't worry
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
We're not as, no one here is going to boo or
yeah,
cheer.
Different environment. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Before we get into some of those discussions, you're obviously very well versed on with the Jimmy Fund. You're a player. Now you're in management here.
You also grew up in the area.
You grew up in the area, so that, you know, you've lived a lifetime of what the Jimmy Fund, the Red Sox, that relationship means. Just explain what that does mean to you and to everybody.
Yeah, so cancer is something that has affected my family. My older sister is a childhood cancer survivor, and I know that I'm not unique in saying that cancer has affected us. But as a player, I think very, very early on in my career here, it was clear just how important this cause was. And you know, I'll say it for as long as I'm asked. It was never a favor or a request of players. It was a privilege to participate in this. And there's just a different feel around the clubhouse and around the stadium for these couple of days, understanding just how meaningful this time is and the impact that players and the community can have on cancer patients and their families.
Are you see the players? I mean, the guys that are new to the team. It seems like they seem to embrace it right away. That's got to make you guys and everyone, you know, in the front office feel good that the players are actively participating in this fundraising event every year as well.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's not a question. And you understand the legacy and the Jimmy Fund captains and just how pervasive this cause has been to the Red Sox and a partnership that has, you know, lasted nearly 75 years, right? And so I think new players come in, they learn from players who have been here just how important this cause is. And like I said, players volunteer. This isn't one of those requests that comes along and you say, well, I've got other things to do. I need to prepare for my day. This is how can I help and when can I do it?
So, Craig, one of the things that has been a constant theme over the last couple of days has been the good vibes, good feelings that the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber provide for the patients and their families when they need it. In their darkest hours and at their most critical times. And that seemed, you know, the good vibes also seem to be rolling here through the stadium as well. And we've had a chance to speak to several different players across multiple day parts here over the 2 days of the telethon. And, you know, through the ups and the downs and the highs and lows, I got to say, there are some really energetic, electric people that are a part of this team right now. And they all keep saying the same thing. Something feels really good about this team. Do you still have your finger on that pulse? Do you feel that same something?
I think it is. There's this palpable effect that this dynamic, athletic group of players has, and you see it the way that it manifests on the field, and I think it's a really exciting brand of baseball that we're playing and that fans are getting to watch. But then you see the personalities when guys come and sit down here and talk, and you realize that it's not a facade, it's not an act, right? This is a group of players that genuinely care about each other. They care about the games on the field. They care about the impact that they can have on the community, and it's really fun to be around. It's really fun to watch.
you and Alex and Sam Kennedy have been consistent all year long, I feel like, saying we have a good baseball team. We're planning, preparing to play in the postseason. And right now, that's where you are. If it, you know, the old cliche, if the playoffs started today, you'd be in. There's a three-way tie for the wild card and all that, but it's not done. How much work is there to be done, even on your part? I know the trade deadline has passed, but, you know, we can watch games and say, oh, the bullpen might be a little leaky, as Lou Maloney said today in one of his videos. How does that work come about for you over the next month plus?
Yeah, a few things. So, right, we're constrained in terms of how we can add players, given that the deadline has passed. But we feel like we've got a deep farm system, and there are guys at the upper levels that are capable of helping us down the stretch. So we want to make sure that we're optimizing the roster, that our bullpen is always fresh, that if we're going to face a string of left-handed pitchers, we've got right-handed bats that are ready to step in. And so, you know, I think there's work to do from that regard to make sure that we're giving Alex and the team as many fresh pieces as we possibly can, as many like versatile and flexible pieces as we can, to give ourselves the best chance of winning. And then there's support that we can offer in terms of information and advance reports. And, you know, we're not going to be able to make wholesale changes to the roster or to players right now, but we can do everything possible to support them.
When the season started, you know, I was looking at the profile of this team, and I played on teams where it was the foundation was a lot of young guys, but there was like a really good mix of just older veterans around to kind of help young, you know, the young guys, you know, figure it out. It feels like, you know, when you look at your team versus the team you're playing tonight, the Orioles, it's like they got a lot of young guys, but they're missing maybe some of the older guys. I mean, when you were putting this team together before the season started, did you feel like, you know, like a Bregman, the impact he could have on the young guys, the Trevor Stories, the Chapmans, that those guys are so important in helping maybe kind of bring these young guys that you have on your team along? That's got to be part of your thinking, right, when you're putting a team together?
For sure. I mean, the best team that I ever played on was the 2013 Red Sox team here that, you know, had this improbable run to a World Series championship team, and it was a mix of young guys and established veterans. And I think if you fast forward, I guess, 12 years, you know, the ability for young players to thrive is all about the environment that gets created around them, right? An environment where they can be themselves, they can fit in, they can express themselves and play freely. And our veteran guys, guys like Bregman and Chapman and many others, have done such a great job of allowing, you know, Roman and Marcelo and Christian and Sedan and others to be themselves and allow their talent to come out. And we knew what Alex was capable of doing from watching him play across the field. But until you have him in the clubhouse and around young guys, you really don't get a full appreciation for what he brings. And Trevor was a guy that has, you know, a stellar reputation in the game, but unfortunately hadn't been healthy enough to really impact the young guys the way that he has been this year. And then, you know, Jaron Duran, you know, as kind of the elder statesman in the outfield, and taking some of those younger guys under his wing, and what Chapman and Justin Wilson have done in the bullpen. And then, you know, Garrett Crochet, despite the fact that he's, what, 26 years old, you know, he carries himself like a veteran, and he's the guy who pitches at the front of the rotation. So I think we do have this ideal mix of veteran leadership and young players who can come up and step into roles, you know, that and work toward them being prominent roles.
Two good starts in a row for Dustin May since you acquired him from the Dodgers. Unfortunately, didn't get the dub last night, but still an excellent start, quality start. Big one for Walker Buehler tonight as the rotation tries to figure itself out, hopefully on the way to the postseason. But I keep hearing good things about how Kyle Harrison is pitching, and people keep telling me, like, you're going to want to see this Toley kid come up and join the Sox because he's something else. Anything you could shed or as far as those guys go?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned guys that we have in the upper levels of the minor leagues, and I think depth, particularly on the pitching side, that maybe we haven't had in a couple of years, and you know, if needed, feel like they'd be able to step in and give our team a boost. Exactly what that timing looks like and what the roles that they might be stepping into, I think, is to be determined. But tonight we've got Walker starting, and you know, the last one wasn't as clean as the one before, and he was great in San Diego. He was great against Philadelphia, and in those playoff environments, we've seen him at his best. So, you know, we're looking forward to what he's going to bring tonight.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you, because you know how sports talk radio works. We have,
you told me you guys were an easy audience. Hold on.
We have,
here it comes.
Well, it's gone well so far,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Is right. No, you know, we have 4 hours every day, and we watched a baseball game, and we react to it. And part of the reaction from us or the fan base might be looking back to the trade deadline, what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened there.
Do you do that? Do you look back to the trade deadline and say what coulda, shoulda, even if it's in the shower, I don't know, regret after the game, the ride home, do you look back and look at it a certain way?
Well, I think it's natural to replay decisions and right. opportunities and think about how you may have approached them differently. And that's not to say that you aren't also happy with an outcome, right?
Right.
We've got Dustin Main, you know, you said he's two really good starts yep. in back-to-back outings, and Steven Matz has been really good for us out of the pen. But of course, you kind of play these situations out and you think about, you know, what you could have done differently. And maybe sometimes the answer is nothing, but other times, you hope that there's something that you can learn so that when you're in this position again, you can achieve the desired outcome there.
Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer for the Boston Red Sox. Appreciate you joining us, talking about the
Thanks,
Jimmy
sir.
Fund, how important this is this day. I don't know if you noticed, they were updating the tote board behind you while you were speaking, and I made a wow face because we're up to $4.471 million.
Wow.
We are approaching yeah. record numbers here on the Jimmy Fund Telethon. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back after this.
Thank you.
We're wrapping things up. Jones and Keefe here on day two, but the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon will continue with WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock, right through Red Sox pregame and the Red Sox and the Orioles, of course, tonight on WEEI. You see the total there, $3,753,057.
Wow.
Which, again, the total last year was excellent, $3.9 million. The all-time record, $4.9 million. From 2008, Keith, that's a long time ago.
A long time
ago. But with your help, I think that's within reach. So again, donate toll-free 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, or you can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. And we're going to be joined here momentarily, as he's walking in now, by Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox. It's interesting talking to Lou.
Yeah.
And we just wrapped up with Lou Maloney a few moments ago. To hear him and just say, oh, well, you know, the guys come into either one is fine. Where he guys come in and, well, it starts at spring training.
Yeah.
They learn about it when they first get here. And it's something that the guys still buzz about after that Jimmy Fund trip down to Fort Myers. So as mentioned, joining us now, Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox joining us here. Thanks for coming on and yeah. joining us here on day two. We appreciate it.
Good. Yeah. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Doing great. Let me real quick.
Yes.
Rob Bradford was on with us earlier. He told me you said you'll get a baseball isn't boring tattoo if you guys win the World Series. How did he rope
yeah,
you into
why
that?
Not?
I don't know.
He's roped you into like half a baseball, yeah. I think. It's not just you. It's like a
He's
lot.
He's got everybody.
It's a lot of people, I think. Yeah.
He loves his branding. yeah, he did it with Joe Kelly, who's a former teammate of mine when the Dodgers won. And then he extended the offer to me, and I said, yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'll do it.
Do you get to pick the placement, or does he pick the placement?
I'll probably pick the
okay,
placement.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
You guys could get like Thelma and Louise-style tattoo. Oh, he's already got
he
one.
Already got one.
He Rob's already got
committed.
One. That's a good point. I guess he doesn't need another one. Well, you're here in year two with the Boston Red Sox. What have you come to learn about the telethon, the Jimmy Fund, and the Red Sox, and your involvement there?
Yeah, I mean, how big it is, how cool it is, for us as players to be able to utilize our platform for a great cause in the Jimmy Fund, how much it means to this organization, the city, all the people here, all the great work that's done to help fight cancer. It's just great to be a part of.
What's that spring training visit like when all the kids come down to Fort Myers and you get to spend some time with them?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it really kind of, puts things into perspective for us. See, we get to play this game for a living. It's a kid's game at the end of the day. It's a sport. And, it's high pressure. Stakes are high. But anytime that we get to spend time with the kids and kind of realize, that what we do, we're very used to it. It's at our job at times. It's very fun. But to be able to kind of share that with the kids and make their day in any way possible. It makes it very important.
It's one of the many areas where the money can go to help that funds or helps fund the Jimmy Fund trip every year down to spring training, 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. It's the easiest way to do it, just to text away, again, about $3.7 million, more than that. And counting here today on day two. You guys have dropped the last couple games. but comfortably, well, compared to a few last few years anyway, comfortably in a playoff spot. How has this year been going for you guys, and how do you feel down the stretch going into hopefully a postseason run?
Yeah, it's been good. I think that it's been a super formative year compared to, last year I wasn't involved. I was kind of watching from afar, and I saw, a bunch of our young talent developing at the big league level, taking some big steps forward. And then this year, it's even more so. We've had more additions. I like the kids have come up and made huge impacts. The returning guys, continuing to make big leaps forward. Talking about being part of starting rotation, I'm just so happy for, and I'm so impressed with Brian Baio, his development. He's really turned into a true top of the line starter for us. For me, is kind of like an older guy. It's crazy. I have to say that now, but it is that way, especially on this team with all of our young talent. Just to be a part of, the excitement, be a part of, just a really overall talented team in many facets that, hopefully we have a really good core to make a playoff run this year and then years in the future.
For being out last year, like you said, watching it, do you appreciate it more now, or like, do you view it a little bit differently getting the ball every fifth day after, what happened a year ago?
It's so much more fun. Being able to actually contribute and be a part of the team. When I signed here, I signed to give this team quality innings, be a reliable starting pitcher that can go deep into games, help out with the bullpen and give us good chances to win. And I wasn't able to do that last year. The entire year I'm out rehabbing my elbow. So it definitely left a lot to be desired. So now this year, actually being a part of the team for real, helping us win, as we continue to push and push towards the playoffs, it's been a lot of fun, especially doing it here in Boston.
Seems like every pitcher, though, is inevitably out for like a season. Is that something like you and other pitchers talk about? Like, hey, if you've had four good seasons in a row, like it's kind of coming at some point. It's almost nobody can avoid it, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a few guys, yeah. The guys that, their elbow just lasts forever and they never have a major injury. It's like you're a unicorn now in today's day and age of pitching. I think just so much is demanded of us. Velocity has become more and more important. Guys are going out there ripping stuff as hard as they can because you have to if you want to get outs at this level. So, it's kind of become a rite of passage, getting a Tommy John surgery or getting, something done. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. Yeah. So you're kind of right. Like at some point, there's always that period where it's like, okay, time to get this fixed up.
Yeah.
Luckily, the science and the medicine is so advanced now to where the return to play with the same level of stuff and feel. It's getting more that way. There's complications every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just you gotta fight back from whatever injury it is.
Well, the rite of passage is an interesting way of putting it. I know Keith is chomping at the bit for some non-baseball questions. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you one kind of in the middle, because you said something that jumped out. We watched the Clubhouse on Netflix, and you even said at one point, like, you feel like you're on the team, but you're kind of separate from the team, working out and rehabbing on the side. I guess, what was the experience like last year, kind of having your every move, the team's every move filmed on Netflix? What was that experience like for you and the team?
I thought it was cool. I wish we were doing it this year compared to last year. It's more exciting, more fun storylines. But in general, I thought they did a great job. I didn't mind it too much. Again, I wasn't playing, so I wasn't asked like, hey, can you put a mic on when you go out and pitch or anything like that? I know other guys were asked to do that, and depending on the player, some guys are more comfortable than others. But overall, I feel like the participation was good. you know, kind of painted a pretty solid picture of like what we go through as players and on field, off field. So yeah, I thought it was a cool experience.
All right, I know you're a huge movie and TV fan. Mm-hmm. What's the best thing you've watched recently?
Best thing I watched recently was Andor.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big Star. Excellent.
You're speaking fantastic. His language.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I got away from it over the last few years. I was a little disappointed when Disney took over Lucasfilm, LucasArts, and I didn't like the movies they did at all. All three of them I thought were terrible. And then they put out a few series, Mandalorian I wasn't a big fan of, some of the other stuff I wasn't into, and so I was kind of sleeping on the Andor series. I actually saw Rogue One in theaters, and I was like, "Oh, this—they did a good job with it.
Yeah, that was
this
very
was a
good.
This was a good movie." But I didn't even know anything about it. And I set up a Disney Plus subscription. I'm like, "What's this Andor? Oh, this is the guy from the Rogue One movie."
Yes.
And I started watching it, and I was like, "Oh my god,
yeah, it's amazing!
Like,
it's amazing.
It's the best writing, best character development in all of Star Wars." Like. The entire universe combined, in my opinion. If it wasn't a Star Wars show, it'd be like, wow, this is like top tier Emmy television. And it, even being a Star Wars show, it is that. Delving into, you know, the politics, delving into, you know, all the stuff like pre Luke Skywalker was really cool.
I'll explain it to you later, Joe.
Yeah, I am going to need an explainer.
It's a Star Wars show without lightsabers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it'd be good, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that was
not the greatest pitch.
Yeah. No, that was the one thing when I started the show, I read online, there's no lightsabers here. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. But after like 3-4 episodes, I was completely locked in.
Fantastic.
Brad Foe, because he's a gossip, you're a Severance guy?
Yes.
Okay. That's one that I watch. He got me into that show. That is a pretty good watch as well. Well, Lucas Giolito, we appreciate the time jumping on. Thank you so much for doing so, and best of luck. This season.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you,
sir.
We got Red Sox and Orioles game 2 here tonight. That'll do it for Jones and Keefe. You see the tote board there, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. That'll continue to be updated. Donate toll-free, 877-738-1234. Online, jimmyfund.org, or text. That's the easiest way to do it. Any amount, K-Cancer, 56512. Stay tuned. Hart, Fitzy take over WEEI Afternoons. They got you next, right here, day 2 of the telethon rolls on.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.